This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Can you please offer a projected record for each of our Chicago teams, the Cubs and the White Sox? How many games will they win, and what will be the greatest achievement for each team? How many games will you be attempting to get this year? How many games are you going to attempt to go to this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I've got the Cubs at 88 wins. I had them at 90. I figure 88 will win the division. I'm just kind of a little bit. The series in Japan reminded me too much of last season to really feel like 90 or bust is legitimate. So I figure 88 wins will win the division. So I've lowered it by the two losses they had. And, you know, that might be a knee-jerk reaction, and I apologize if that's the way you take it.
What are you calling a jerk?
A knee-jerk reaction.
Oh, it's a knee-jerk instead of knee-jerk?
I've changed
it. Well played.
It. But I think that Mr. Dustin dropped him like 12 games. So I feel like, you know, at least I still got him winning the division. But there was a lot of noise, just different stuff that was coming out. I saw a lot of stuff on. I read a lot of things about Cincinnati yesterday. It bothered me. As far as the White Sox are concerned, I think they're better than last year. So they I'll say that they only lose 115 games. How's that? So they're better, but I don't believe they're
That's 47 victories.
I think they can hit.
You're 47. That's, you got 47 victories for the White Sox, and you have
black
80.
47.
You have 88 for the Cubs.
Black 47.
Mully's down for 47 and 88.
Yeah that was the year of the famine in Ireland. That's what I'm going with.
So a famine at 35. A famine in the win column at 35th and Shields.
A famine remaining, but not the worst team ever.
Starved for success.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit more glass
half
full.
I might go to about 10 games this year, both sides of town, 5 and 5.
Wearing that T-shirt?
What T-shirt? I have no half a T-shirt.
There is no chance you get to 10 baseball games this year.
Oh, how much? You want to make a $5 bet?
But see, you would go just, I think you would go
just for the $5.
Just to spite me.
No, I feel like when people come to town, they want to go see the Cubs. And we got people coming in this summer. So there you go.
All right. I have got the Cubs at 86 and 76. 86 and 76. Did I do the math right, David? Are you checking me? I think that's good enough to win the division. The White Sox, I've got them at 60 and 102. I'm trying to be optimistic. Over at Circus Sports Illinois for the White Sox, Mully, you care to take a guess?
I don't.
You had how four, under 50, right?
So
53.5. 53.5 for the White Sox. I'm saying over 53.5. The Cubs, right on my number, without me, I'm looking it up now.
Really?
86.
I thought it was 85.5.
Circus Sports Illinois has it at 86 right now.
All right. And the final part of the question?
I will definitely go to more than I have not. You're not going to believe this, both of you. The last Cubs game I was at, I was with both of you, and I think I saw 5 outs. I had 1 beer and a hot dog, and I walked out with Mully after a certain somebody that hijacked a meeting that we had, on-air talent and producer meeting that we had over at the Cubs offices. Somebody hijacked the meeting. The meeting went off the rails, in my opinion. I was so disgusted that I couldn't handle even being in the same room. I had a beer and a hot dog and drove home and listened to the rest of the game on the score.
Well, I hope you
get
back.
That was probably 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I couldn't tell you the last time I was at 35th and Shields.
Wow. We should make your way out there.
It will be more than one.
Easy in and out.
It will be more than one.
It is a fun thing to do.
All right. So
the Australians are coming, so I've got to go to at least one.
I would say that the White Sox, I'll start with the Sox because it's the most difficult prediction because all of our predictions have them improving.
Yes.
And as said, they could lose 100 games and still be the most improved team in baseball because they lost so many last year. I have them winning 55 games.
Wow.
And I hope that...
That's crazy.
I hope
they
that
won't,
they win
get
more.
The number one overall pick now.
Well, yes, they will. 55 games. Mully, they're going to
win
52
games.
The White Sox are likely to be, they are the heavy favorites to be the worst team in baseball. It's just a matter of how bad will the record get. And I think they will be 55 and 107, which is not great. That will be their prediction. For the Cubs, I was a 90-win guy. And then you subtract those two from Japan. They didn't even split over there. So now we have our reopening day today. And they have 160 left. And I vow not to overreact until tomorrow. And so I think they'll have 89
Oh, look at you.
89 victories for the Cubs. Win the division. That's a bar they can realistically clear. And I do go to games, so I'll probably be at more White Sox games than Cubs games this year, just by virtue of if the
work.
Studio at CHSN is going to be at the rate that could be very conducive to just often staying for parts of games, as I did last night for parts of the Blackhawk game, which is fun.
Does that count, Dustin?
Yes, it counts.
in your bookkeeping?
No. I don't there for work. Speaking of work, though, and this is a serious question, as a Hall of Fame voter for baseball, do you have like a hard pass that gets you into all major league parks?
Yes.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, it is.
So you could drive over to Detroit and just show a badge of some sort.
Yes, it could.
And you just go to a game.
Yep.
And like there's always a seat like in the press box?
I don't know.
There's always a place for him in the press box.
You'd have a professional courtesy of going ahead, emailing ahead, calling ahead.
Oh, okay. You'd let them know that your presence was going to be there. Okay.
Yeah. Or there's that extra.
I when I first came up.
That's
was
so
in
cool,
the,
though.
I was
honestly.
In the,
that
you
is
know,
so cool.
I had the card from the Baseball Writers
Right. You had that, too.
It's the Baseball Writers thing.
Yeah,
it's a lifetime honorary pass.
So it's not just a Hall of Fame thing.
Well, it's the same. You're asking the same question. It's the same thing. Because of your
tenure?
Your years cover. He covered baseball for at least 10 years.
For at least 10 years.
Hall of Fame
so you get a card that makes me a lifetime member of the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Can I borrow that?
Well, if you get me. It has a photo. It's a photo ID. So
our hair color is almost the same.
So no, you can't. But you guys are crazy. That counts if I'm at the game.
No,
that
I
wasn't the question.
I believe that it was ruled that you weren't.
Like, how many
going
games
to work
and how many
and
games
then
will you pay to go to? How
well,
many
no,
games
that,
will you have an
he's
alcoholic?
He's not going to pay for a
right,
game.
How many? Well, then it doesn't. That's not my. You asked me what counts. I think you have to pay
we
for
need
the
to
game.
Revisit this later.
I think you need to have to buy an alcoholic beverage.
Well, if you have a ticket to the game, if you have a dear friend.
Do you know what that costs to get a beer bet?
You've told me. I don't know. I haven't been in
only Brandon.
I haven't been in 2 years.
Brandon's the only guy I know from our group.
I'm still paying for
big,
it.
Big, big shot over here to
he
my took right.
He had a bank loan.
And again, ask yourself that one question. Are you better afterward?
Oh, plenty of questions to ask Steve Stone. He's here at 8:25. Prediction time, part two. In honor of opening day for some and opening night for others, who will win the World Series? Feel free to name an opponent, and feel free to mention MVPs on the AL and NL side.
Okay, I know I'll get a lot of grief here because it's hard to pick against the Dodgers.
I'm going to.
In the National League. I want to just to be different, but I just don't think that you can say they have the best team money can buy and then pick someone else to win the pennant in the National League, even though I think I pick every second year maybe the Phillies. I think I go Phillies a lot. So I'm not going Phillies this year. It's going to be the Dodgers. I want to say Ohtani's going to be the MVP, but I would love it for it to be Bryce Harper. So maybe I'll go Bryce Harper and the Dodgers in the National League. They'll play the Red Sox. And
I mean, like, you just stole my sheet.
I didn't do it on purpose.
Mine as well.
Dodgers.
Is that unbelievable?
Red Sox. And the MVP in the American League is going to be Bobby Witt Jr.
All right. Mine is slightly different. But nice picks, David. Remember, everybody, that David and I don't agree on things. I am actually going with the team that David usually picks. I am going with the Phillies. And that's a little bit to do with the guy that got away. You know, I'm still a Kyle Schwarber guy. My National League MVP, I'm sticking with the Phillies. And this is why the Phillies are going and going to win. It's going to be Trey Turner, maybe the one that got away from the Cubs also, the shortstop for the Phillies. They're going to play the Red Sox, and the AL MVP is Rafael Devers. Even though he's not, he's not super thrilled, but he's going to take it out on the baseball. He is going to take it out on the baseball because he is being, air quote, demoted to just being an everyday DH, and he wants to be a third baseman as well.
Do I have to change all my picks now?
No, of course not. This is the beauty of it.
Here's the horror of it. I do think the Dodgers are going to win again, and the Boston Red Sox didn't even make the playoffs last year, and I got them as the
all
as
three
the
of
AL.
Us.
Representative, ridiculous. But
sorry, Boston.
I will also throw in a Cy Young winner, and I think it's going to be Garrett Crochet.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be phenomenal.
I do too.
And I think they
I have him written down, but we didn't have to pick the Cy Young.
Yeah, but I think they think that he's going to be phenomenal, and they gave up a pretty good.
That's why they gave up three.
And that's why they
prospects.
Had no problem doing it.
Yeah,
So I think that. Shohei Ohtani will repeat as MVP, barring injury. And in fact, he might be even better than he was a year ago. I don't know if all the numbers will reflect that, but maybe he does more. Maybe he gets on the mound at some point. And I have Bobby Hill. He could have won it last year. I don't think it's going to be. It's just
Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt Jr. I have him. Of the Kansas City Royals.
You picked him too.
I know.
I can't believe we all picked
this
the same
now
thing.
Means you two have to go to a White Sox Royals game. I mean, if you're AL MVP,
I'll be there.
You'll already be there.
He can stay for
can
a
you
beer.
Can you sneak Molly
yes,
and I in?
I'll get
can
you guys
sneak
in.
Us all in.
I promise that I will get the crew in this year.
All right.
You guys are welcome anytime.
To a Royals game now.
Well, as long as I'm there. Already.
I'm not really in the mood to answer that question.
Oh, we got a lot to hear from LeBron. And here's the question. Are we going to see LeBron and Luka play tonight over at the United Center and on News Radio 780 WBBM? What do you expect from the Bulls tonight against those Lakers who are playing the second game of a back-to-back? And who's the key guy against LeBron, Luka, and company?
I got to tell you, I think that... I think that the Bulls can win this game again. I wonder what the Lakers are going to do. I think the Lakers have a lot of tough decisions to make here because they won that game. They basically are in, but they've got you know, a guy on their roster they got to make a decision on. You know, they had signed what's his name? Is it Jordan Goodwin? They'd signed him, 26-year-old guard, to a two-way contract, and he's played 19. It is the last game that Goodwin can play and remain on the active list without having to be signed to the roster. So that might not sound like nothing, but they need to convert his two-way contract to make him eligible for the rest of the season. And he, believe it or not, is averaging 6.7 points and 4.1 rebounds a game over 17 games that he's played. And
is that your way of saying you don't expect LeBron to play?
I don't expect LeBron to play.
Wow.
I'll just say that.
I'll say this. If he doesn't, and no, probably good for the Bulls, how many people are going to be disappointed?
Oh, I think.
Because of all the stuff going on, I bet you there's some people that bought tickets for tonight to see LeBron play.
I guarantee you there are people who bought tickets tonight to see LeBron play. I think he's come back from an injury. He hasn't been great. Luka is back from an injury. They got about four guys that are back from injuries. And they're on the second game of a back-to-back. I'm just saying.
Well, I think you're right.
LeBron has disappointed Chicagoans before. We once got a booth and brought listeners, and guess who didn't play? LeBron James.
Went through warm-ups and then went back, showered, and came out dressed in street clothes.
Yeah, we're all said, Dustin.
Because he saw you there.
Dustin tried.
I was in the Bud Light lounge.
He tried to get Doc Rivers to autograph something. Or no, Dr. J. He was so peeved.
That is going to be a major. I might have to,
if I'm right about that, I
might have to call in for pick six tomorrow.
Check in.
I might have to call in for pick six. I mean,
I hope I'm wrong.
If both guys don't play, that's.
I think Luka would probably play.
If Luka plays, then I want to see Matas move over to Luka. We don't need to see Giddy. Giddy's been really great on offense.
I want Giddy to forearm shiver Luka. First time he guards him.
All right, but I want Matas to shut him down is what I want. It's the new the Bulls are now the Showtime run and gun, you know, Lakers of the 80s. They're the Showtime. Yeah. They're the Showtime Bulls now.
They are.
They just run up and down the court. The question is, we've all fallen in love with this Moses Malone like guy who some
Derek
of us
Queen.
Are going to watch tonight play.
Derek Queen.
Can he get up and down the court?
Don't tell anyone about it.
Okay, does he fit?
We'll get to that. That's the next
question.
Does he fit? That's the next question.
All right.
He will
all right.
be fit.
So tonight, I will be so disappointed if LeBron doesn't play. You got to play LeBron and Luka. I know that's a good
game. Are you going to stick around and see if they start?
Yes. Oh, at the UC?
Are you at the UC tonight?
No TV tonight.
Oh, too much sports.
Too much
TV.
Going on. Too much going on at CHSN. You got the Sox. You got.
So are you flashing your card over at 35th
yes,
and Shields
I'm going,
later?
I'm okay. going. I'm
are
going
you
to
going 30, to the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, good man.
I'm going to 35th and Shields. So.
And we're going Saturday, right?
We're going Saturday to the Bulls game.
Yes.
We're going Saturday to the Bulls game. Yeah. Yes, got to keep track of all these things.
That's it.
So the Bulls can beat the Lakers and actually should beat the Lakers coming off the second end of the back-to-back. The Lakers are going to talk themselves into being tired. And LeBron or no LeBron, I think the Bulls have an opportunity because I don't know if you noticed yesterday, Billy Donovan's still playing for keeps. He's treating these games like he's in the Sweet 16, like the Bulls need to win these games. I think they're going to take the court and just be more ready. They're at home. They don't have a better record on the road. But I think the Bulls beat the Lakers tonight. And I hope LeBron plays, and I hope he looks tired, and I hope that he is
Hope he's held below 17.
He's held below 17 points. He might have a little laryngitis. He did a lot of talking.
First of all, great question.
What surprises do you expect among the NCAA tournament games today, and what game are you most highly anticipating?
Wow. Well, I don't know about surprises because the
tournament.
Yeah. Is this my turn to go first? I think it is.
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
So I think that you want to say possibly BYU? BYU might have the best chance of pulling an upset. Maybe Arkansas over Texas Tech. Is that a surprise, though? That's the thing. I look at Arkansas, Texas Tech, and I know it's a 10 versus 3.
4.
But Texas Tech is 3.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
And if they do that, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised that John Calipari found a way to get his team to win a game in the Sweet 16. So I'm going to say the biggest surprise would be BYU over Alabama, contrast in styles, and you look at that BYU team is sneaky good with Richie Saunders. That would be the biggest surprise today. The one I'm most highly anticipating, it is going to be a challenge to go back and forth between Duke, Arizona, Lakers, Bulls, Cubs, Diamondbacks. Because I want to see John Shire and the Dukies win.
Well, come out to Elmhurst. I'll probably be at the Spring Inn. Multiple TVs. Can watch it all at the
same time.
Some of us
got to work tomorrow.
Some of us don't.
Wow. Wow. Dustino. That's beautiful.
So, I think if you guys come in here tomorrow and it's BYU, Maryland, Arizona, and Arkansas, right? All the dogs, the higher seed. The way this tournament's gone, that would be surprising because it's been so chalky. But this is what's going to be great. I think these are going to be really competitive games. I mean, I will be shocked if Duke covers 11.5 against Arizona. I'd be shocked if Duke lost. I'd be shocked if Florida lost. This Maryland coach is out of control. I mean, talking the way he's talking about this Villanova job, he is using this in all the wrong ways. He's exactly like the opposite of Tom Izzo. I'm really disappointed.
Thank you.
I'm really disappointed in that guy.
Me too.
But to answer the question directly, I would not be shocked, and I would almost predict BYU beating Alabama. BYU's really tough. They're really tough.
Yeah, I think number 6 BYU against number 2 Alabama is probably the spot for an upset. Alabama favored by 5 in the hook, I believe.
Yeah.
Last time I looked.
5.5.
I think it's going to be fun. But, if Florida doesn't get their act together, they could run into problems. But I think Florida has been tested and has already played their best game. And I think Duke is also I think those teams look great. Alabama can do some damage, but they can also, they're a weird team. They can let you down. And that is the one game that is kind of, I didn't think they'd be as good as they are. I think Texas Tech is also favored by 5 in the hook, I believe. And I think they're a better team than Arkansas, but when you get the best team money can buy, there's a chance that they may develop and as the season goes on and be better at the end of the year than during the year. But I don't want to say, Florida's favored by I think 6.5, right? The other two games are 5.5. I feel like the best chance for an upset would be BYU, but I think Alabama may cover the 5.5.
Okay.
I don't like the other games. Yep. For upsets, I mean.
So there are 31 college conferences watching from home. Can you please rate the best 5 teams left in this tournament? And can you tell us how many teams left in this tournament can actually cut down the nets?
A lot of rankings today.
Yeah, we're doing
predictions and rankings.
Predictions and rankings. That's the theme of the day.
That's good.
You know, look, I think that the best team that I've seen is Duke, followed by Florida. I think Florida, though, had a tougher opponent, but they did. They didn't kill it in that game, but they're good and they're very good. So I'm going to go, and I believe Florida's going to win over Duke, but I think Duke and Florida are teams that can win a national championship.
Okay.
I think that I would put Auburn in there next. Then I would probably say Michigan State. I think Houston and Tennessee also could.
That's 6.
Could
win. You just named 6. You can only do 5.
Okay. I'm taking Michigan State out.
Okay.
I'll have Tennessee. And
have you not paid attention to the press conferences? Tom Izzo means business.
I understand that, but I mean, if you're not letting me pick 6, I'll pick 5.
It is pick 6, right? It is the pick 6. How many teams can win the title?
In honor of the pick 6, that's why I'm naming them. Those are the teams.
Okay.
I believe there are 6 teams that can win the title.
Oh, that's okay. So you've taken the 5 best teams, and then you've got 6 that can win the title.
That's it.
I'm kind of in the same thing. I think, without going exactly in order, and we don't probably have time, I think all the number 1 seeds are definitely 4 of the best 5. Then I think you kind of flip a coin between Michigan State and Bama. The thing with Bama is they can score 100 points, and if you can score 100 points, you got to look out for that. So I've got my top five teams, and I put Bama, a two seed, and Michigan State, a two seed, as teams that I think can win this tournament.
Okay, so I think I want to put Duke first, but really, if I'm looking at objectively, which team impressed me the most, and I said, wow, they can't lose, it would be Florida. I don't know how. I do know how, but like they are so good at making clutch shots, and Walter Clayton Jr. is going to be the player of the tournament. So I would put them first, Duke second, probably Auburn third, if I'm head over heart there. And then I think it's Houston and Michigan State. Michigan State, to me, is a team I picked to win it all, because I think if they get to the Final Four, they can find a way. But those are the top five right now. I would say you could expand that to maybe six, even seven teams who could win it all. Alabama might be in there. This is a totally provincial thought, because I feel like I heard them talking about it yesterday on television, and I thought, you know, Purdue, for a team that has really nobody's mentioned.
Zero.
Yeah.
There's no buzz. They are a team that played in the national championship game last year. They don't have Zach Edey. They do have a lot of other players who benefited from that experience. It wouldn't shock me if we're looking at an upset this weekend if Purdue is that team that pulls the upset.
Well, that might be a Friday question, David.
Okay. You're not going to be here. I wanted to treat you with that insight.
Thank you.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
Friday question.
All right.
We haven't even done them yet.
Sit back, strap it in, and lock it down. Here we go. Long question here. Some interesting college pro days, including the running back Ashton Gentry from Boise State, offensive tackle Will Campbell, LSU. What was stranger, and how do you react to no 40 or lifting from Gentry? Or how about the odd arm growth of Will Campbell? How does one's arm grow from Indy, where it was 32 5/8 at the scouting combine, to 33 at a pro day? Still below 34, which is the underwear Olympics requirement. But what could be there in his second season in the league? Could they grow more? And why, why, folks, do you think Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles picked Ohio State's pro day over Boise State's and LSU's? Is there anything to read into that as far as a tipping of the hand of the Bears?
All right, big day in the pro workout and the pre-draft process part of the program. Will Campbell's arms grew? Because that is the Baton Rouge tailor measuring them, right? That is his favorite tailor. He went to the, okay, stretch a little bit more, and Will Campbell suddenly has 33 inches. How does that happen?
It's the weirdest thing ever.
Is that he's just stretched out?
He'll be 35 by year two.
He went to bed every night like this, stretched his arms, and I don't know how that happens. But at least he hit the threshold. I don't believe it, but I don't think it matters, and it is somewhat absurd. Now, the Bears chose to be at Ohio State because quantity over quality. The defending national champions have so many players. And did you see the defensive tackle that pulled up lame running his 40 time? Oh, my gosh. Good thing it was just a cramp. Looked like he blew out his knee when he went down. Tyleek Williams, I believe.
Again, why does a defensive tackle need to run a 40?
He does. You need to show your athleticism. Nonetheless, I'm trying to get to all these questions here. So Boise State had Ashton Gentry on display. Don't care if he didn't run the 40. Don't care about the other stuff. That guy looks like he is stacked. And he looks like a running back ready to have a 1,200-yard season in the NFL.
Did you like him shirtless?
Well, if you're going to perform in front of all those scouts and you've got that kind of physique, take off your shirt, buddy.
So you're okay with that? You're not a big take off your shirt guy.
Not to mow the grass.
Okay.
Not to run 3 miles when you're a middle-aged man. But if you are a Heisman Trophy finalist and you are a first-round draft pick, let her rip.
Stretch. So I think that Will Campbell might have gotten in one of those medieval time machines since Indy. You know, put him in the rack, right? You just get stretched out. You know, yesterday, didn't you guys talk about the superhero that you would want to be? You know, Will Campbell was doing his best stretch. You know, that
Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong since Indy to this combine. I do have a problem with to a certain extent, I mean, you want Ashton Gentry to run 40 yards. You want him to run 60, 70 at a time, right, if he's on your team. So I don't know why a running back wouldn't run a 40 time. If he, if you saw him with his shirt off, you know he can throw 225 around like I throw Mick Ultras around. No problem with that. As far as I don't understand why the Bears brass couldn't divide and conquer. You know, we talked about it earlier today. You know, this show, dividing and conquering tonight, having eyes and ears on different things because some of you have to work tomorrow. Sorry. So I think the Bears should have split up. You know, I think the Bears should have split up. I think it was important that they go there. But they'll probably have Will Campbell and Genty in for an interview. So then it really doesn't matter.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know how much it matters. I think Genty looked great. It's weird, though, that he did not run the 40. It's just weird that he didn't run the 40 at the combine. He didn't lift at the combine. He didn't do either thing. He looks like he could spend half a day lifting 225. But you'd like to see him do it. You'd like to see people kind of follow what are the bare requirements. I mean, when you see a guy not run at the combine and then not run at his pro day, now he's a very shifty, and he did all sorts of drills and he looked great. But does the guy run a 4.6? Is that what that is? Does he run like Camp Scataboo?
Is that what that tells you?
I'm wondering. Why would you not run a 40? Isn't that a required thing? I'm guessing the only reason he doesn't run a 40 is because he doesn't run a good 40. What other reason? If you ran a 4.3, wouldn't you be out there shirtless and all and run a 4.3?
He met the bear requirements.
He was bear. That's well played. But I'm a little disappointed that, I know a lot about the guy. I really have enjoyed watching his career. I just, what are those numbers? Why can't we get those numbers? And again, I know he can do whatever he wants and it won't damage his draft stock. It's just strange to me. That's all.
Fair enough.
And I think that the growing arms thing is hilarious. I just want to keep talking about that now. I think they've by the fact that his arms grew, they've drawn more attention to it.